They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise name.
Because you'll never be anything but a common frump whose father lived over a grocery store and whose mother took in washing.
Hey, y'all, it's your boy. I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Welcome to Who Shot Ya? With me, as always, film reviews editor at The Wrap, El Mero Mero de Navidad. Does he like to party? Yes, he does. It's Alonso Duralde, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Alonso?
I'm terrific. How are you, sir?
Very good. What is good with you, Alonso?
Well, look, Thanksgiving is over, so we know what that means. It is fucking Christmas time.
Now it's
and
fucking
like,
official.
It is like, yeah, I don't come to me with the too early. No, Thanksgiving
now
is over.
It's your
it's
time
on.
Now.
The candles smell great. The hand soap is very exciting. The decorations are up. The music is blasting.
Cinnamon tea.
Yes.
Cinnamon tea. Do you have a Christmas coffee drink?
I put cinnamon in my Mr. Coffee on top of my Bustelo.
Azúcar.
Gives it a little kick. I started doing it last Christmas, and I like it so much I just do it all the time now.
Okay.
But for some people, if you want to get seasonal, go for it. Now's the time. And I was telling April before the show that if you go to Cost Plus World Market, they actually make an official Hallmark Channel tea that is cinnamon cardamom. It's very lovely for these winter nights.
That's what's good with you?
That's what's good.
That's what's up. You heard her voice for a quick second right there. Host of the Switchblade Sisters podcast right here on the Maximum Fun Network. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sometimes It Snows in April. April Wolf! Slurp! Slurp that shit, y'all.
Okay, we are losing listeners. No. People, that mouth that's stuff makes people nuts. That
is just me and my hot tea over here. That's just enjoying the wither.
ASMR crowd who's out there.
Yeah, I'm getting them.
To us, yes.
They're like, oh, God, stop. So what's good with me is that I get to celebrate the release of Alicia Malone's new book called The Female Gaze.
Yay!
That is coming to bookstores everywhere. I contributed, along with a lot of other critics and writers, a short essay on a movie that I love that is directed by a woman. But the whole book is a lovely compendium of movies that everyone should see.
Okay. Shout out to my DJ compendium. And also, can you say what movie it is that you're talking about on it?
Innocence by Lucile Hadzihilovich.
Oh, I love her so much. I don't know who that is.
She's really, really good.
Okay.
Everyone knows her as Gaspar Noé's wife.
Gaspar Noé.
No, I know. Come on. You know. Irreversible.
Now she's relevant. She's a wife.
Exactly. But I would like people to know. It's just that people
now
can't spell her name.
She's important.
No, I know. I hate to be that guy. But I did not know who she was either, but I do know who Gaspar Noé is.
Okay. All right. And then that final voice that you heard right there. Oh, we got a special guest for you. You've seen him on Comedy Central. His comedy album, What Am I Complaining About, was number one on iTunes last year. Am I right? Am I wrong? Host of the Visitors Locker Room podcast. Not since Jilly from Philly has Philadelphia spawned just a goddamn enjoyable person. CJ Sullivan is with us today.
That's way too big of an introduction.
Bro, I had another one that involved Heavy D and the Boys.
Because I got nothing good in my life. Okay. Go ahead and say the second
intro. You got nothing good in your life?
Yeah.
I got nothing but love for you, baby. I got nothing for love for you, baby.
Oh,
I was going to rhyme that with CJ Sullivan.
Yeah,
and then, you
right.
know, make it sound all pretty, but Jilly from Philly was better, right?
You're right, the first one was better.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I even asked you to do the second
one. No, bro, I like talking it out. Now, inside baseball.
We're workshopping it.
Yes, exactly. You hear the process.
Now, what's good is that I'm here. Don't know who shot your podcast.
Yeah, thanks for being here, bro.
Thanks for bringing me in to see Creed 2. Now, I don't want to spoil the outline here, but we're going to be talking about Creed 2 later.
No. Spoil all that shit up, dude. Spoil it. They give us a 10-page script.
I'll tell you what's good, besides the homework assignment you gave me to see a movie for this thing, which I was fine with, because I was going to see it anyway. And I have questions going into
Did you say
Creed
the receipt?
2. I see. Yeah. I write that
you
off.
You write that off.
I write that off with my fucking horse bets. Found out Brigitte Nielsen's still alive. That's
she's still
good.
With us. She's still with us. But that hey, we're not getting...
That was a question later. I had going into it, so that was good for me this weekend.
Okay. All right. So you were happy to see Brigitte Nielsen back in your life again.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. She looks great.
Yes.
We'll talk about that later. That's all that's good with you?
Sorry.
That's it? Don't be sorry. We're 4 minutes in. Now is not the time to be sorry, CJ.
I got it. An hour and a half.
There's
more
so
of
much
apologies.
To regret later.
Yeah, exactly. When we get to like an hour 30.
I wrote an hour and a half notes of apologies later.
You're good. Well, thank you for being here, CJ. It's good to see you.
Hey, Ricky, what's up?
Jill, damn! Wow.
What happened? First time.
Usually,
is
April...
Is that like a secret word? How's this thing work?
So it's some, Now a duck comes out of the closet, spins around three times.
And you win $500.
Exactly. What's good with me is that today, November 27, Noviembre 27, it's my mom's birthday.
Your mom and I are both Sagittarius?
Yes, that is correct.
We're just like 2 days different birthdays, you know?
Well, happy birthday to you, April.
Thanks.
Belated.
Missed it, you know?
Yes. How was your birthday? Who cares what's good with me? And who cares about my mom's birthday?
Right.
We want to know what you did for your mom's birthday.
Yeah, right?
I called her.
Did you teach her FaceTime?
No, but I did learn that she's on the WhatsApp. She's on WhatsApp.
Okay. That's something.
And it was one of those moments where she just kept... When I don't know if this goes for all international parents or non-English speaking parents, but once they learn one word, she is all in on that one word. So she was like, Ricky, si quiere me puede llamar en el WhatsApp. Entonces hablamos en el WhatsApp y mi nombre en el WhatsApp es Marta Carmona en el WhatsApp. So, por favor, llámame en el WhatsApp. Tú sabes, yo quería un birthday cake, pero hablamos en el WhatsApp.
So nombre was the word she wanted. I got you.
I'm having so many childhood flashbacks. It's not even funny.
So I talked to her, and she is having a lovely day today. She doesn't listen to this podcast. No disrespect, Mom. I'm not taking that from you. I'm your son. You don't listen to my podcast. It's all good. But she did say that she wanted a birthday cake. She has not gotten a birthday cake, so I'm going to get a birthday cake sent to her.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
Yes,
that's
she doesn't
good.
Know that's happening.
Perfect. Yes. 3 weeks afterwards.
Yes, because I love my mom. What did my mom do for me besides take me? I mean, she did a lot of great things
Ricky,
for me.
When a man and woman love each other very much.
My mother took me to see Rocky III on opening night.
Wow.
God damn it.
Clubber Lang.
The one and only. My least favorite in the Rocky series. I said it.
Okay. It's a punishment for you.
Thanks, Mom.
I'm bringing this all up because today on this episode, we will be talking about Creed II, that new movie that is out in theaters right now. We are also going to be taking a call from the Who Shot Line. Thank you all to everybody who's calling into that. We'll be taking a call from the Who Shot Line. We are going to have another El Mero Mero Christmas Navidad Minute with our boy right here. And as always, we will have our staff picks for you at the end of the show. But right now, it is time for the segment that we call It a Dick. CJ, I don't know if you're familiar with this. It a Dick, it is where... all three of us right here will read a news blurb.
Those are fighting words.
No, that's not a challenge.
Oh.
Yes.
You did not tell me to eat a dick.
No, not at all. We will read a news blurb or headline, and then afterwards, anybody can jump in by answering these two simple questions.
Oh,
is this important? Do I care? And I'm going to start off right off the bat because we are talking about a director whose films I enjoy. Christopher McQuarrie, he directed Mission Impossible Fallout, a film that I was a big fan of.
Very good.
Did you enjoy Mission Impossible Fallout?
I did.
This movie's
great. Things were really falling. Helicopters were really falling out. It was great.
Yes. Angela Bassett. He was interviewed by Collider recently and was asked what he thought about the Best Popular Film Oscar. He is against that. He responded by saying that the comedy should really focus on an Oscar for stunts. I'm going to quote Christopher McQuarrie.
Right.
He said, "I can't think of a film recently that might qualify, but that's an art. That's a skill. That's a craft. Those people are risking their lives and doing things that are absolutely and utterly, truly amazing and are so much a part of an experience like that. Is this important? Do you care?"
I think he's throwing shade at Cruise there.
He got there
because that Mission Impossible, remember, that was kind of famous when Cruise did his own, because Cruise likes to do his own stunts when you go that big.
Yes,
his own stunts.
I believe he broke his ankle.
Jumped across
that
building, whatever, and that went viral, whatever.
I think he's probably to be all false modest. like, I can't think of a film that would maybe qualify.
Yeah, but it's just like very clearly Tom Cruise should get this fucking Oscar. Yeah,
because he's not going to win another one, apparently.
See, I took it the other way, saying, like, Tom Cruise, stop doing your fucking stunts. And let professionals
let's
do
get,
it. You're worth a $1 billion. 4,000 people will be without jobs. If you fall off that building, I don't care about your life, but I care about these people's jobs.
I mean, yeah, this is not a thing he made up. There should be a stunts category has been knocking around for a while. And, you know, I think for a long time the argument has always been, oh, well, you know, the show's too long already. We can't add another category. But already now they've said this year that they're going to have like a Schmoskers, right, where they're going to take a bunch of, like, sound editing, a lot of the tech categories out of it and sort of do it in a non-televised thing. Basically what the Tonys and the Grammys and the Emmys do, where they, like, they save the juicy stuff for the big primetime show and they kind of, like, toss everything off on Bravo or something.
Yeah.
Which sucks, and I hate that they would do that. Especially if they're going to do that to the shorts. They already did it to the damn Governor's Award people, so like, you know, yeah, who wants to hear that Cicely Tyson speech?
Make it fucking longer. I'm of that camp that is just like, make it long. We're already not doing anything else this whole fucking day. Like, maybe some people will be still on the red carpet, but you can at least start the show, you know, like get things going. But like, definitely do a fucking stunts thing. Like,
give
this is
more
insane.
Awards.
Yes. Yeah,
so, just give them all out.
Let us know.
They all did good jobs.
All right. Casting,
really good jobs.
Whatever.
This is the same academy that thought it was a good idea to have Rob Lowe sing Snow White songs during their fucking ceremony.
Ticket takers? I don't care. Make a fucking category for it.
Best ticket takers.
Yes.
Honestly, though, like craft services, crafty.
Absolutely.
Because
like,
there's some good ones and there's some fucking bad ones.
I've shaken hands with Crafty when I've been on a set because if you're walking around handing out avocado toast, God bless you.
Yes.
God bless you.
They're doing very good work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With the upcoming release of Aquaman, an interesting casting choice was announced this past week. I wish I didn't know this.
Spoiler alert.
It was all over Twitter, so maybe you don't want to know this either, but too late. Dame Julie Andrews is going to be voicing a giant fish monster called the Carathan. According to the AV Club, it's a mythical creature who's apparently vital to solving the film's central conflict. Producer Peter Safran shed some light on the casting. We wanted the Carathan to have a voice of a classic British actress, albeit somewhat digitally altered, and we found out Julie was interested and available and excited to do it. Casting her was a no-brainer. It should be noted that Aquaman is being released the same exact weekend as Mary Poppins Returns, which Andrews, Shade, apparently has no involvement with. Is this important? Do you care?
I truly think it's a Shade thing.
Mm.
I absolutely think that she's like, oh, for real? You're not going to? Okay. All right.
Because I think she was asked to be in Mary Poppins Returns and said no. So I think now she's sort of compounding it with like, oh, but I'm going to do this fish instead. See how you like that.
Why would she say no to being in Mary Poppins Returns?
Because she could be a fish.
What's the choice? That DC money.
I mean, if this topic is literally called "Do I Care?"
Do you care? And also, CJ, do you care?
You lost me at one Aquaman. Two dame, any sir, anyone, any lord, any dame. I don't care.
Aquaman's real. Dames are not real. Aquaman is
real.
Aquaman.
You guys, I can't believe
Aquaman. The dames is amazing. You need to watch that documentary.
I mean, Judi Dench's grandma saying she's not great, but like. That's understood. You have to say that before you say any sentence about Judy.
Yeah,
she's great.
Helen Mirren will kick your ass.
I know, but dear Lord. Aquaman beef with Mary Poppins?
It's getting good reviews, bro. Early reviews out the gate are good.
Really, though?
Yes. It is.
Permission to come aboard.
I am hearing good things about Aquaman.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Apparently, because it's James Wan. It's like, apparently, it's like a movie that knows exactly how dumb it is. Yeah. This is what I'm being told. I haven't seen it yet.
How could it possibly be?
It looks dumber than I think I can even handle.
And it's Aquaman. It should be.
I don't know that category exists.
I know.
That was my problem. It didn't look dumb enough. It didn't look like it embraced it dumb enough, you know? I wanted more talking with fish. It seemed like it was like real action. Like, hell, I'll watch Aquaman fight Mary Poppins. I don't care.
That's the sequel. Slow down.
Can Mary Poppins swim?
Only after Disney acquires Warner Brothers.
Okay, I'll take this third one.
Okay.
The world has lost two big names in art house cinema this past week, Bernardo Bertolucci and Nicholas Roeg. Both rose to prominence in the 1970s. Bertolucci was slightly more commercial of the two. I mean, I guess. His films were always political and often very controversial. His most famous works were Last Tango in Paris, The Last Emperor, 1900, and The Dreamers. While Bertolucci had more Oscars, Nicholas Roeg is no less influential. His films were characterized by their experimental visuals and disjointed editing techniques. His most famous works were Walkabout, Don't Look Now, The Man Who Fell to Earth, and The Witches. But that also doesn't cover the movies that he was a cinematographer of, which, you know, yeah, Fahrenheit.
Petulia, Fahrenheit 451.
God. Yeah, there's the, yeah, Endless. And then the one that he co-directed Perfection with.
Performance.
Performance, yes. Thank you. Also a very interesting, strange film. Mm-hmm. So is this important? Do you care?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you know, Bertolucci, obviously with the discussion of how Maria Schneider was treated during the filming of Last Tango is kind of been, you know, problematic of late. But, you know, I think, you know, that he still has an extraordinary career. And, you know, look at movies like 1900 or The Conformist. You know, this is a guy who really, like, shook stuff up and had an interesting way of telling stories. And Nicholas Roeg was operating this whole, like, kind of crazy dreamlike sense in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I think of him as like, you know, Man of Felt Earth and Insignificance and these really sort of heavy 70s arty films. But for a lot of you younger people will grew up watching The Witches, which is a great movie. But, you know, like I saw it later in life, but it's extraordinary. And nothing else in his career makes you think, oh, yes, family film, you know, but The Witches is a great family film.
Not Walkabout for real. I mean, it technically is a family film.
Well, I mean, it's a that it is about a family. Yes. But,
you know, the script for Walkabout was 14 pages long.
I believe it.
I do, too. It's very much like, what are we going to do with these actors? We're in this weird space. Let's see what happens.
Walkabout,
fucking love him,
is one of those movies that I've seen on Criterion, on their website, and I just feel like I am supposed to watch that movie. And then Don't Look Now is a movie that I am, like, I always actually pat myself on the back for not knowing what the spoilers are for that. And even before we read this, I wanted to be like, hey, guys, no spoilers on Don't Look Now, please, because I hear that movie, if you don't know anything about it and then watch it,
course,
it's just so fucking fantastic.
Ricky, I would never.
Oh, for New York Magazine's 100 Influential Scares, I wrote about that spoiler.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. See, yeah.
Do not read it, anyone.
Yeah. Maybe if you haven't seen it, wait until.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be talking about Creed 2, y'all.
Yes.
You are listening to Who Shot Ya?
Hi, I'm the JV Club podcast, Janet Varney, and I used to suffer from indecision. I couldn't choose between Star Wars and Star Trek, whether to call or text, or the best way to cook my eggs. But now, thanks to my weekly dose of We Got This on Maximum Fun, my decisions are made for me. Thanks, Mark and Hal!
Warning, We Got This may cause shouting, phone throwing, the illusion that the hosts can hear you, laughter on public transit, and death.
We Got This with Mark and Hal. We know what's best.
Welcome back to Who Shot Ya? I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Joining me in the studio today are
April Wolf,
C.J. Sullivan,
Alonzo Duralde.
Today we are talking about Creed 2. Alonzo, if you could please just give us a quick synopsis of said film.
Sure. Okay, so Adonis Creed becomes the heavyweight champ, and then naturally everybody wants a piece of him, most notably Victor Drago, who is the son of Ivan Drago, who is again played by Dolph Lundgren, who, you know, Ivan Drago has been exiled and humiliated since his pounding at the hands of Rocky Balboa at the end of Rocky IV. So it's the grudge match of Adonis versus the son of the guy who killed his dad in the ring, and they face off once, and Rocky doesn't want to be Adonis's manager, and Adonis doesn't lose, but doesn't go well. And then, so of course, there's a rematch, and there must be a training montage, and big fight. Also, Tessa Thompson is in this sometimes.
Sometimes she's in this.
Occasionally.
Mm-hmm. She shows up every once in a while.
Yeah.
She does.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
My line for this is that it's less Creed 2 than it is Rocky 8.
Yeah.
Like, Stallone co-wrote this one, and Ryan Coogler's gone.
It's a bit Stallone-y.
We're back to this again, you know. There's a lot of Rocky in this one. Like, he wanted to make sure we knew what Rocky was up to.
There's a lot of Rocky 2 in this one.
Oh, yes. No question. But I just mean the character Rocky.
Oh, for sure.
Well, there's a sequel to a spinoff of a sequel. So when you're going to the second sequel of a spinoff of already, so you're going to...
Yeah, it's also Rocky IV, Part 2 in a way, yes. And, you know...
Yeah.
It's not very good.
And that's the show. Right.
Yes.
And
thank
that's
you for
your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Blow to the torso.
All right. Excellent. This is great. April, tell us why you didn't think this was that good.
The pacing is completely off. The script is barely, you know, cohesive. Dialogue is really terrible. There's a lot of things that they could have just done no dialogue, but I don't think the director had the confidence to do things with no dialogue. He felt like, you know, yeah, we got to do like exposition, make sure you explain this, get here. But it just, the pacing was so fucking weird, and the directing style doesn't change throughout. So that means that, you know, the style that Coogler has is that he changes his directing style to ramp up tension. But here it's just like one note. It's the mm-hmm. same thing. It's just like, oh, you're going to get the same shots from this fight as you are going to get from this fight. It's not going to give you any kind of idea of what emotion this character is feeling. It's just a fight. That's it. There's just the directing is just not as confident. You see a movie like that and you're like, oh, shit. Coogler's really fucking good.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It just hits at home how fucking good he is.
A big thing I noticed in this one, as far as, like, directing, in the first Creed, there's three major fights in that movie. And each of those fights has a very distinct kind of, like, style to it. There's one fight, I think it's the second fight, where, like, it's all just one shot. Yeah. You know, like there's no edits. Everything is one shot. And I was like, this is fucking great.
And that's his it says his emotional state. It gives us a sense of that emotional state.
In
sure.
this movie, I actually felt like Stephen Caple Jr. I actually felt like he hit the emotional beats, but there were still things that were missing and that were, I think, are owed to Coogler. And one of them is like, what Stephen Caple did in this movie technically was he found one new interesting way to shoot fights and then just stuck with that in the first fight, in the fight with Drago, and then the rematch after that. And it looked cool, but there was never anything new where I was like, oh, on this fight, they did this thing. It was just kind of like, oh, cool, they fought again. And then they fought again.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the whole thing felt, you know, I was never bored by it, but I was never blown away by it. And you're right, it is the kind of thing where like, oh, I really appreciate what Ryan Coogler did to the last one, because mm-hmm. this is just like functional, like it could just come in a box that says boxing movie on it, you know?
Yeah.
Anything that we care about these characters is coasting on our memories of you know, Tessa Thompson and Michael B. Jordan's character from the previous movie, and of Stallone and you know, Lundgren and all them from ages ago. But what this brings to the table is like exactly what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, they said it's got a problem with women too. I'm getting real fucking tired with every story that's just like, well, guess it's time for her to get pregnant, you know? It's just like, for real? Like, we're going to, okay.
I didn't even buy the drama of her childbirth. Like, oh my God, what if it's partially deaf? Then it gets a fucking like, hearing aid, just like you got one.
Yeah, like, it's not a big deal.
It's
like,
not cancer, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it felt more like the story point. I was happy with the characters and the return of, and seeing them again, but when it came to like executing the story and those moments, as far as like, oh, the baby's is going to have a hearing problem.
Yeah, who cares?
I just didn't.
She's got a hearing problem. Whatever.
Yeah,
you
turned
out fine.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a musician.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
As far as the storyline, though, even from the first Creed, which was excellent, but you still had to believe a lot of things that mm-hmm. like they made you like not question things. Like if that was reality, because Apollo Creed didn't even know Rocky.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they just told him, like, you got to go to him. Oh, and he didn't even know about his dad. He'd go to him, like, hey, you know. Rocky'd be like, okay, kid, I'll train you, you know.
Yeah.
And Creed'd be like, all right, cool. Who else have you trained? Like, oh, just one guy. Your dad, actually. Oh, okay. How'd that work out? He died in the ring. Second round. That was on me. I let this guy hit him 300 times in a row. I thought he could take it. That's how I used to win fights, you know? I used to get punched for 14 rounds, and I'd come back and rally, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's how I train my fighters. I'm 0-for-1 as a trainer. You've been banned. The boxing commission wouldn't let him train anybody else. You trained one fighter, and he died. And he was a legend.
How Stallone is it? How Rocky is
it? And now he wants
him
as a trainer again?
Yeah.
And this one, he lost because he wasn't there? Even Drago is a trainer. He's just like, break him, kill him. How about some instructions? You know, like, hey, watch the jab, something.
He's goal-oriented.
Yeah. These are the two worst trainers I've ever seen in a boxing movie. What I did find hilarious, though, you're talking about the Rocky, like, tropes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they go through the training montages. Like, you know, the first one, of course, Philly, and then they do the ghetto. Then they do in Rocky IV, they go into Rushy's training in snow. Like, they're
and the KGB right. is following him in a Zeal limousine.
And they're running out of elements. So this year they had a gym in the desert. Like, what is
He's
this?
He's just doing CrossFit.
I mean, is this? Yeah, exactly. Like, what, it's like selecting a board for Grand Theft Auto or something.
They
like,
went to
where
boxing,
do you want to
man.
Fight? How do boxers? It's like an 8-hour drive each way. And how are boxers out here? Do they live out here?
No,
you got to go to hell.
Then they're going to Coachella.
Like, I wanted to see a montage of when those two were house shopping in L.A. and at one place with a mansion with a view, you know, the whole crowd. When I saw it in the theater in L.A., I was like, ooh, look at that place. Like, I just wanted to see him house shop for a couple hours. You know, look at nice apartments in Los Angeles, you know.
Stuff I'll never live in.
Yeah, exactly.
What a great view. It's just like HGTV,
yes.
But the Creed edition.
That's the age I'm at, Matt. Got a segment on the show? That's
Swap
the age
it
I'm
or
at.
Flip it.
Oh, I love it. I got to also shout out, I think, please. That Tessa Thompson's hair and makeup is just so good in this movie. Besides the shirtless, beautiful men, her hair and makeup is just always on point.
I don't know if you all will agree with me on this. I really do feel like the performances were there. Tessa Thompson, I thought was no.
No, they didn't have a director or lines to work with. I thought they were struggling. There's a point where Michael B. Jordan is like walking down the hall and he's like, "I'm gonna have a baby," but it's so unbelievable that I can't.
I agree with you there. I put that more on the writing and just
that's
the screenplay
the
wasn't
writing.
There.
Yeah.
But I was never watching it going, "I don't believe this." I was watching it and going, "This is the story you're telling me?"
Yeah, the performances I thought were great. Michael B. Jordan, when he's in the hospital after he got messed up, he was great.
I thought that was
I don't know, I feel like Thompson and Jordan are making it work. Like
They're trying, but it's not really. They gave you the hits.
Look, you go to Creed 2, you want to see the fights, you want to hear the trumpets. It's like the...
I wanted more of that.
Like I wanted Killmonger and Valkyrie to get together, and they
Italians.
Did. You know?
It's like Get Her Done for Italians when you hear... It's great. It's what I want to see.
Maybe this is a metaphor for something else, but the fact that there actually is the Rocky statue in Philadelphia, and now the movie gets to use that as a location for the fictional character to have had a statue.
All right. I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay.
What?
But you did ask about Philly, and Philly gets a lot of shit for this fucking Rocky statue. I don't want to bring this up.
Speak.
Well, there's
speak
a famous Bill Burr rant, you know, when he goes off, which is hilarious. Bill Burr's great.
Yes.
But he goes off and goes, oh, you guys are racist because you have a rock statue of Rocky, but not Joe Frazier, you know, real guys. Listen, we didn't build the fucking Rocky statue. They shot Rocky III, and then they left it there as a memento because they couldn't fit it on the plane, and no one wanted it. They put it in front of the art museum. The art museum's like, yeah, get this actor of Tango and Cash off our fucking art museum thing. People are coming up to it. So then we put it by the Spectrum, where the Flyers and Sixers played, and that's where you would meet to get scalp tickets and stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't want it. Then we dumped it in Chinatown. Because like, that's where he does everything.
Chinatown's like, for real?
Like, yeah. This is what you're going to do?
It's underneath 95. And even they were like, get this the fuck out of here. So then it was finally gone. Then people were like, then all these tourists go, where's the Rocky statue? They all bitch about it. We're like, God damn it. Where can we put this fucking thing of... guy from Throw Mama from the Train.
The fact that it was made for the movie and it's not made of like foam rubber or something, that it's an actual metal thing.
Oh, yeah, and he left it as a gift, like it was the damn Statue of Liberty. We're like, take this thing.
Get this thing out of here.
Sir, I believe you left this.
Back to Bensonhurst.
How does this? How does Creed 2 rank with other Rocky movies? And also, I want to preface that with: Does everybody here have a favorite Rocky movie?
Well, I've never seen 5 or Rocky Balboa, so okay. That puts me at a
Rocky 5 is one with Tommy Gunn,
Tommy Morrison. Who also I should to footnote that it was the second guy Sylvester Stallone trained after Apollo Creed died, and he wound up fighting him in the streets before he became a heavyweight champion and ruined his career. So he was 0 for 2 for trainers.
Yeah, he couldn't even get him in the ring. So you haven't seen Rocky V and you haven't seen Rocky Balboa. Rocky V, people are not a fan of. Uh-huh. And Rocky Balboa, I think people were
Balboa made a little bit of comeback.
Yes. People were happy about that.
Respect about all the Rockies is, though, he keeps that tradition of the sequel starting off with the first 5 minutes of the old movie and just montage of opening.
Previously on.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Before VHS and stuff, you had to be reminded of what the hell happened.
Right. Yes.
You know, sequels and half the movie was just flashbacks and montages and saves a little
I kind of enjoyed the subtle way that they, instead of giving you like a rehash of what's happened in all the other movies,
right,
they just kind of brought you up to date on the Drago family beginning of this movie. I thought that was a nice way of like paying an homage to that.
Sure.
I mean, favorites, I would have to say first Rocky and first Creed, you know.
Okay.
And I think the thing about Creed was, it felt like, oh, this is, let's take these established characters but do something interesting and exciting with them. And this one feels like, nah, interesting, exciting is overrated. Let's just do the same old shit
again. Let's just go back to what we did before.
You know, and so it's like, if they had killed Rocky at the end of Creed, I would have been fine with that.
I'm surprised they didn't.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that he is still with us.
That's all that you don't want that. Then you're going to have montages of him looking at him as a ghost, talking to him.
Like a Jedi Rocky.
Right, this thing over his shit.
Standing next to Burgess
Trust
Meredith.
Me, yeah, exactly. You're going to have a whole corner. The whole, like, happy Gilmore. It's Carl Weathers in the clouds waving with an alligator. You don't want a dead Rocky.
There's no mention of Rocky being sick in this movie as well, which I thought was one of the best things about Creed is, like, they just made it fucking real. And it's like, here's where this character is. And there's just no mention of that at all. He's fine. April, do you have a favorite Rocky movie?
Oh, it's honestly the first.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. The first and then the first Creed. I don't often like the next movies and franchises. I'm not like a franchise person, except for Lethal Weapon.
What's your favorite Lethal Weapon movie?
It might even be like 3.
It really doesn't work until Joe Pesci shows up.
Because he shows up in 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that Lethal Weapon 2 is my favorite in that franchise.
Doesn't show until Rene Russo shows up.
Yeah, now you're saying something. Now I'm with you, bro. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, because they keep getting more and more creative because they try to do as many things without guns as they possibly can. So it's just like, oh, this guy's got a flamethrower now. And so that's how he's trying to kill people. And you're like, oh, all right, I'll take it. So that's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah,
so yeah, franchises I'm not too big on usually.
In Lethal Weapon 4, they brought in Jet Li. And he uses no guns at all. He was
None.
Just like, no.
Yeah, they were like trying to stretch those bounds to see like what they could do.
Yes.
And
I love Lethal
the
Weapon.
The idea that Mel Gibson could go 30 seconds with Jet Li is like,
nope.
Come on.
That was the best thing in that trailer is when Jet Li shows up and then it's like a 10-second montage of him just beating the shit out of Mel Gibson. I was like, oh, I'll go see that.
Take my money.
Yeah,
there's like an alternate cut that's great for 2018, which would be lively.
Yeah. They should re-release that, but just that footage.
Really into it.
On a loop.
If I was going to rank him, it would be Rocky 3 over the top and Creed 2. Those are my top 3 Rocky movies.
We're gonna wrap it up very soon, but why do people love Rocky 3 so much? I think that's the worst one in the series. Used the worst. On a Darth Maul level,
but that's where the world
you heard me.
That's where we were introduced to the magic of Mr. T.
But he's wasted. It's a wasted Mr. T.
I don't know. Do people love Rocky 3? Is this a
thing? Yes. Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Thunder
absolutely.
Lips, Clubber Lang.
And I think it's because of Mr. T.
And Hulk Hogan, I guess. I don't know.
The Hulk Hogan fight is longer than the Mr. T fight. That's my problem
outfits,
with that movie.
The wardrobes are just turbo loving. It's amazing, dude. There's the beach sprint race where they embrace each other. There's the LA gym.
Does Rocky 3 have the robot or is that 2?
That's 4.
No.
Rocky IV,
the robot waiter, which in the 80s was the ultimate sign of being wealthy, if you had a robot waiter.
That's my favorite joke in The Muppets, where he's remember 80s robot Kermit has in his house?
Robot waiter with a tape deck on his stomach? Jesus.
Get out of town.
You live it.
You're right. I put Rocky IV over Rocky III, dog.
No, I'm kidding.
Rocky IV is embarrassing. Rocky IV is the most like Reagan-ish
and
the most Rambo-ish of all these movies. It's so flag-wavy and boo the Soviets. And it's embarrassing.
They literally show them putting steroids into Drago. Like, he's a machine. He's a cheater. Like, literally. And he's in front of journalists.
That's the only way they know how to win.
I forgot about that. I did forget about that.
Granted, it does have James Brown singing Living in America.
Granted, it's a fucking amazing, too.
This movie, I wanted Creed 2 to have my James Brown Living in America callback.
So, James Brown is dead.
Give me a Kendrick Lamar in there, like the trailer.
Thank you.
That Kendrick Lamar trailer, I'm like, oh, this is going to be the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah. And it does, unfortunately, it does not live up to that. But let's go around. Should they screen Creed 2, stream Creed 2, or skip Creed 2? Mm. CJ, I'll start with you.
I would scream at Creed 2.
Yes.
At a live screening.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you would. April?
Stream it.
Oh, yeah, I would say stream it as well. I thought you were going to go right to skip. But yeah, stream it. It's not the worst.
Streaming is just like, I don't know, you could also be cooking like Christmas dinner while you're, and it's fine, you know, and you might catch some of it. You're like, oh. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. Creed 2 is great background music. Mm. You're absolutely right, April. Like, it's something where if every once in a while when I prick my ear up, I go, oh yeah, I like that beat right there. That is dope. Is it gonna change? It doesn't change the game like Creed did.
Right.
There is no really outside of the Return of the Dragos, and mm-hmm. I wanted more of there. And also, man, we have not said a goddamn word about Felicia Rashad. I thought Felicia Rashad was great.
She just walks in any room and she just, like, she does what's required of her, but always good because she's fucking Felicia Rashad.
It's still off-putting for me, though, for her to be Creed's, it's got Aunt Vivian situation.
That is strange. That is strange.
I mean, granted, the original actor died.
No,
but,
I had to do a lot of mental math to be you're her.
Right.
Yes. But overall,
she's great.
So are
she's
you,
great.
Are you screen streamers?
I'm a stream. Okay. I'm a stream. Stream Creed 2.
I will always remember this movie because during the screening, someone stepped on my toe and split my big toenail, and it hurt like fuck.
Oh goddamn!
Really?
I'm still working on healing it.
Oh, then you recommend seeing the movie?
Well, then you
it's
the movie.
Memorable. Yeah, that's gonna stay with me.
It
forever.
Was memorable.
Yeah.
During mine, someone was having a conversation with the entire length of the movie. And would say, like, did you catch that? Did you hear that? he said that he would accept the fight. What?
Yeah. Were they cooking Christmas dinner also?
Yeah, if you're legit asking me would I recommend going out to the theater in the public to see any movie, I'd say no.
You would say, of course. I know you as a person.
I mean, I've walked out of many movies, not because of the movie, but because of the audience. Like,
no.
Any Paul Thomas Anderson shit, like, I cannot take the crowd.
Right. Well, now you're just talking.
I just can't take the crowd.
We're just talking blasphemy.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not here for your Paul Thomas Anderson hate.
I can't take the crowd.
All right. CJ doesn't leave the
house.
CJ doesn't leave the house.
Hell is other people.
This is the fourth time of the year CJ has left his house.
I don't like this at all.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for the El Mero Mero de Navidad Christmas Minute, and we're going to listen to the Who Shot Line.
This holiday season, we're flooding the Max Fun store with our biggest ever new product launch. 17 brand new items from some of your favorite shows. I bet you know someone who needs a new shirt or mug, maybe a hoodie. Cozy up in a pair of Max Fun logo socks or keep the sun out of your eyes with a Rocket Dad hat. There is literally no better holiday gift for the Max Fun fan in your life than some new gear. And hey, pick yourself up a little something too. You deserve it. Check it all out at MaxFunStore.com. That's MaxFunStore.com.
Welcome Welcome back to Hushaya. I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Joining me in the studio today are...
Alonzo Duralde.
CJ Sullivan.
April Wolf.
It is time to answer that phone call one more time. Thank you to everybody who calls the Who Shot line. We welcome all questions, comments, theories, what have you. Today we've got a question from an unnamed caller. I don't know who this is, so let's take a listen and see what they have to say.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to see your podcast come up every week on my feed. So I thought this week I would give you a call. I have a curious question. I know each of you has a genre that you're not really that fond of. I mean, that's just human nature. Everybody's got something like that. I would wonder what each of you would recommend to someone else from that genre. I mean, Ricky doesn't like musicals. It's got to be a musical or two that he might suggest. So, let us know. Thanks.
Oh, well, that's good. Do we legit not know who that caller is? The unnamed caller. Right. Okay, excellent.
Oh, yeah, hit us up. Let us know what your name is.
Yeah.
The anonymous provocateur.
Is it all right if I go first? Because I know exactly what it is. Because I know exactly what I would say. Yeah, he did. And also, I accept your challenge.
Yeah, he called
challenge!
You out.
Right. Challenge! Holler at The Wiz, dude. Check out The Wiz.
Musical?
I would say, yeah, musicals. The Wiz. Dreamgirls. Little Shop of Horrors. Was there a musical that I yelled at about here recently as well? I feel like you brought some
you
shit
were not,
up.
Were you pro school days or not? I couldn't remember.
I was not against school days, but it was in that conversation where it was a Spike Lee thing. I think
one.
I was just excited at the fact that Spike Lee was going to be directing another musical. But no, absolutely. I feel like The Wiz is great. I feel like Dreamgirls is great. And as far as like old school musicals, Little Shop of Horrors, those are more in my wheelhouse because they also just, I mean, The Wiz, it has an R&B feel to it. It's not fucking Oklahoma or Stagecoach or whatever the fuck.
Well, that's the same thing with Little Shop of Horrors, too.
Yeah,
like,
and Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah, yeah.
There's
like variety to the music, and that is going to interest me more.
Is there West Side Story?
Never seen it.
Jesus. What?
We've been trying to get him to see it for
your
a while.
Poor mother. On her birthday, no less.
West Side Story starring all those white people and one Latina.
Also,
Italian would have slipped back.
We should
Puerto
say,
Rita, we called them in the 50s Puerto Ricans.
And Rita Moreno was announced that she is going to be in the new one, and she's executive producing it.
Yes.
And who's directing? What Latino is directing that movie?
Esteban Spielberg.
Yeah, Esteban Spielberg.
Esteban Spielberg. 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 Claro, of course.
Como no.
Is there a genre that you are all not a fan of that you would recommend a movie?
I'm not a super Westerns person, but in addition to the Sisters Brothers,
here we go.
I would recommend John Ford's The Searchers, which is just an extraordinary movie on a lot of fronts and has a lot to say about the American experience and what we did to the indigenous peoples and how we treated them and what the way of life that is so often presented in Westerns without scrutiny does to the soul. So, yeah, I would say that one. And it's probably hands down John Wayne's best performance.
Okay. April?
I'm like seriously looking right now.
I see you scanning.
I was just like, oh, God, is there anything I would recommend from this?
What's your genre that you hate?
Fantasy is something that I can't get behind. It's
really,
really hard for me.
Yeah. No fantasy?
I zone the fuck out. It's weird.
I think I might, I don't know if it's a mistake. Maybe I make the mistake of if you like horror movies that also includes like fantastical elements.
What about Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Bedknobs and Broomsticks, though.
Is that fantasy?
With your lady, Angela Lansbury.
Yes.
I mean,
sort
if that's
ish.
Fantasy, then yeah, I mean, then I'm definitely into that.
Dark Crystal?
The Dark Crystal, though.
No.
Legend.
I was about to say Legend.
David Bowie was Labyrinth,
oh,
right?
I mean,
yes.
Also, does Highlander count?
Of course.
Y'all, for sure.
That's another franchise that I'm all fucking in.
Really? Come on. Even Highlander 2?
Right? Yes.
The Quickening?
Oh, my God. I love it so much.
Oh, girl.
I rewatched it recently. And I also love the Adrian
Paul
TV show.
Yes.
It's so fucking good.
God, I remember they used to run ads for, like, you could buy the complete set on VHS.
Oh, my God.
The Highlander TV show.
I just think that The Highlander is the best fantasy movie
there
franchise
really?
Ever made. I mean, the thing is, maybe I just don't have good taste.
Dear listeners, do not watch Highlander Do the Quickening unless you are looking for a movie to mock, because it's the worst.
If you want to, like, come and chat with me about Highlander 2, because we've seriously been, like, the only people who've seen
That's a Switchblade Sisters episode I want to hear.
Oh, hell yeah.
Anybody bringing up that
one.
No one
is going to pick that one. Although I was surprised that Star Trek Generations was an episode.
Never say never.
Has that been
released? Have you done you've done Star Trek Generations?
Oh, yeah, Mariana Polka, right? Yeah.
Oh, I'll go back and listen to that one.
That was a good one. Okay. Yeah, I have a hard time, like, even, like, I hate E.T. I've never finished watching it.
My God. I love this so much.
It scared the shit out of me. I could not handle it.
Give me your passport. I'm ripping it in half.
April, you
are not
tight,
an American.
Yeah. I love this.
Most things with dragons, except for G-Wars Dragon Wars, which was a high-budget, really terrible Korean movie that is, like, incomprehensible.
You know,
and I just adore it.
I always thought you were kidding, but I think maybe you do have bad taste.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
I like some other
stuff.
One
Sean Connery was the voice. Was it Dragon Heart?
Dragon Heart.
Yeah, that's Dragon
Heart.
The last
one.
Oh, man.
Yes. I saw that in the
Dragon Slayer is pretty good.
I've never seen Dragon Slayer.
I don't think I've ever seen a bad dragon movie. Now
yeah,
think
Rain
about
of Fire.
Rain of Fire
dragons.
Is terrible.
Is it?
You know,
it is.
Damn.
I think I liked Willow and Time Bandits, though. And that those are...
Love Time Bandits.
Those
love
are
Bandits
great. Fantasy.
Terry Gilliam.
Time Bandits, sure. Pirates.
Shout out to my mom taking me to see Time Bandits when I was way too young to be watching that movie. Yeah, saw that at the Logan Theater in Chicago. Shout out to the Logan Theater. No, son. No.
But not Westside.
CJ, do you have a genre that you hate, but you would recommend a
movie
from that?
You know me. I love everything.
Do you?
Yeah, there's nothing I hate. No, I love, yeah.
Yeah, hating is like, maybe you don't hate.
I don't hate.
Maybe
it's not my jam.
It's like the least loved.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just always happy.
Who is this person? I don't know. That's not why I asked you here.
You
bro.
Started off the show being, I'm so depressed.
Yeah,
and
you're
like, no, I'm always happy.
We want to
I'm
talk
lying.
To that guy.
Yeah, I hate pretty much every show.
What's your favorite Paul Thomas? You said Paul, you shat on Paul Thomas Anderson.
I didn't shoot
before.
On his movies.
No,
I shoot on the fucking audiences in the movies.
Okay.
All
right.
That's what I'm saying. I've walked out on many movies because of the audiences. That's my least favorite genre movies, audiences.
Audience, okay. All right. I like that. I support that.
So I'd recommend an empty theater to go to.
Oh.
Meaning your living room. Stream.
Yeah.
Go back to stream it.
Alhambra on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
Oh,
God.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like when you have a theater yourself and then, like, the lights have gone down and then somebody comes in during the treasure, like, God damn it! I almost had it.
All right, y'all. Before we are out of here, it is that time. Once again, you heard him at the top of the show. I mean, this is, it's like your birthday every day now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what this is?
A little bit.
It really is.
A little bit.
It is time for Alonzo to let us know what is happening in the Christmas movie world. Every week, he will have exactly 1 minute to talk to us about Christmas movies. It's the El Mero Mero de Navidad Christmas Minute.
Before we get rolling,
yes.
I just want to say, fucking Hallmark Channel is trying to murder me by showing 12 movies over 9 nights during the Thanksgiving break. But I went out of town. I'm just catching up. So I'm only reviewing 5.
Okay.
Because otherwise, I would literally just drop dead in front of you trying to do 12 of these bullshit movies in a minute. That's insane.
My man, you got 60 seconds to do whatever it is you please, bruh.
Okay.
Casey, start that timer, dog.
Okay, so Hallmark gives us Reunited at Christmas, which is about a family that gets together to do Christmassy stuff at the holidays, which is not to be confused with Last Vermont Christmas, which also has a family getting together to do Christmas stuff at the holidays. And it turns out, in both cases, they keep the house and everything works out because everything always works out. All right, Christmas at the Palace is basically Nutcracker Christmas, but on ice with a princess movie thrown in, and it mostly works if you can go with it. Pride, Prejudice, and Mistletoe is some bullshit. It has zero Jane Austen in it. Lisa Chabert is phoning it in. I don't even know what they were thinking in that one. And then Hope at Christmas, I literally barely remember, except that there's a bookstore involved. And in these movies, there's always, like, local bookstores and local coffee houses and never a Target or a Best Buy or a Walmart except during the commercials. I don't get it.
What about dogs? Any dogs?
Always dogs, but no dogs in these movies, unfortunately. But they all kind of are dogs, so that's a different thing entirely.
Oh.
But I got an early look at Christmas Prince, A Royal Wedding, and we'll talk about that next week.
Boom.
Man, that was great.
Here's something I want to talk about, in whether it's off the air or maybe we make this a segment, because you mentioned it on our Facebook page. Like, there's, like, some drama as far as like casting with Hallmark movies, yes? As far as like.
There was a thing that came up this summer during the shooting of one of them was an extra was told, like, they were doing one of the million Christmas tree lighting scenes, and they were putting the background extras in pairs. And it was a black woman who'd been paired with a white guy, and a PA said, oh, no, we don't have interracial couples in Hallmark movies. Officially, the channel denies this.
Mm-hmm.
Unofficially, watch a Hallmark movie and draw your own conclusions.
Okay.
However, they have four this year with POC leads, including their big Hall of Fame movie this year, which starred Tatiana Ali and featured Dennis Haysbert and Patti LaBelle.
Okay.
So, you know, baby steps.
POC Leeds is my favorite rapper. But...
He's from Philly.
Yeah.
POC Leeds.
I grew up with POC Leeds.
All right. But that is something that, I mean, again, whether I pick your brain when we're not in the studio or it's something we talk about on the show here, I think that's...
There's a whole race discussion to be had here.
Yeah,
we can totally do that.
Perfect. All right, it's time for our staff picks. So every week we ask a panel to tell us about a movie that they think we should be checking out, whether it's in the theaters or streaming, what have you. April, how about I start off with you?
It's so funny. I was going to be like, I'm going to tell you to watch 2008's Kristin Scott Thomas's I've Loved You So Long, a beautiful French film. But then I was like, nope, fuck it. How about Tommy Lee Jones and Volcano?
Yes! Yes!
Because we had a Turkey Lee Jones Friday marathon
did.
Where we watched Black Moon Rising, Volcano, and Under Siege.
Wow.
And, there was another one that we skipped out on because I just couldn't handle a fourth one that night.
Hope
Actually,
Springs?
I could. My husband could not handle it. But
Lincoln?
No. But
Man of the House. Isn't that Man of the House? Was he in that
it
one?
Is,
it is Man of the House. Yeah.
It is. And then, you know, we also watched a bunch of, like, Tommy Lee Jones Japanese commercials,
yes.
Which definitely spend your night doing that. But Volcano is so mind-blowingly bad and weird, and it has the racial politics of Crash, the bad Crash.
Don Cheadle.
And is like somehow both like anti-public transportation, but also like I don't know. I don't understand exactly. But it just assumes that, like Lava's the bad guy, though. I should say that.
Spoiler.
And there's definitely a lot of things going on that are trying to echo the riots of L.A. And that's it's definitely really fucked up. And also our studio right here, where if you look out the window, that's where most of it was filmed, right?
Ooh,
there in MacArthur Park Lake.
Yes.
So, like, it's a great place to... Yeah, definitely watch Volcano. It's fucking weird.
It's
a
great movie.
It is bad. None of it makes any sense.
Chris O'Donnell.
Anne Heche is like,
yeah.
She, you know, Anne Heche is actually a pretty great actress. It's just, she's pretty dumb in this movie. Like, let's climb into this tunnel where lava's flowing freely, very clearly. And it's a really interesting primer on L.A. politics.
I like a pro public transportation movie.
It's weird. It's like anti public transportation, but also pro and but not. It seems like it maybe was paid for by Beverly Hills trying to be like, if you guys build a tunnel underneath us, lava's gonna get you. You're gonna ruin the city, and it's all gonna be your fault. Like that's.
I do like a movie brought to you by Beverly Hills.
I'm looking at the cast right now, and I see the name Keith David. So I am all in.
Here's the thing.
Thank you, April.
Saw that name in the opening credits, and was like, oh shit! We
exactly.
all clapped,
yes.
And then it was just like, man, when is Keith David gonna show up? Yeah. How long are we gonna get in this fucking movie? Poor
he
Keith
was the
David
motion capture
here.
Of the lava.
Yeah. He was the voice of the volcano.
So, okay. John Carroll Lynch fucking melts like the Wicked Witch.
Oh,
I gotta,
like, oh, just wow. You're selling it.
It's
selling
like it. It's okay. It's a great. That would be such a good gif. I should have got.
I saw it when it came out, and not since. I remember very
Ooh,
little.
So weird.
Alonzo, what do you got for us?
Okay, so this is one of my favorite movies at Outfest this summer, and I don't know that it really got a theatrical play in the U.S., but it is now on Blu-ray. It is a Chilean queer film called Cola de Mono.
Azúcar.
Which literally means monkey tail, but it's basically the name of a very eggnog-ish cocktail. This is a movie that is set at Christmas, but it is dark and fucked up and really cool. And it's about two brothers, and one of them is sort of an intellectual type, and one of them is more into, like, Stephen King. It's set in the 80s. But they both have secrets, and... My way of describing the movie is it's like Stranger Things for gay men whose early sexuality was warped by Cruising and The Fan.
Ooh, The Fan?
Yeah, not the De Niro Fan.
Oh, I was going to say.
The Michael Biehn The Fan.
Oh, I don't know that movie.
Oh, honey, we have to talk.
Okay.
Anyway, Cola de Mono, you have never heard of this movie. It is dark and sinister and really cool. I really want you to see it. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. It actually sounds very much my thing. So.
And I'm a big fan, and so, yeah, go check that one out. Just out this week on Blu-ray from TLA Video.
Okay, excellent. CJ, what do you got for the people?
Okay.
See, Google. Everybody does one, bro. So we all do one.
No, I know. I was going to recommend a gambling movie. It's called Mississippi Grind.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn. And Ryan Reynolds. Yep. Sienna Miller.
Yep.
It's kind of an indie movie. I only say because I'm into gambling, and gambling movies are always terrible. They're always garbage. Anytime you even talk about gambling movies, it's never right. Even in Creed 2. They did the rematch. Like, Creed is a 25-1 underdog. Yeah. What?
Nobody is.
He's the current heavyweight champion. What do you mean he's 25-1? You're not getting 25-1 underdog. That's insane. So all gambling movies are just fucking dumb. Like, they don't make any sense. Rounders, okay, whatever. Even that had its moments.
All for the money?
Let it ride.
What was the Al Pacino one with?
My God!
Two for the money. There you go.
With McConaughey.
What was the one you just said?
California Split.
That's actually supposed to be great.
It's fine. I'm talking about the realities of gambling.
Yes.
Sure. About it. Yeah. You know what I
mean? Molly's Game.
Molly's Game. Yes. God, we should have had you on for Molly's Game. God damn it! You would have shot yourself.
Fuck!
There.
I would have shot up Molly's Game. Just that opening scene is so Soderbergh, whatever the fuck, or Sorkin, I mean.
Yes. Yeah,
Soderbergh, Sorkin. It's like, holy Lord, it infuriated me. I remember I actually saw it on a plane. I almost punched the chair in front of me, but it was someone sitting there.
So Mississippi Grind.
Anna Boden and Ryan...
And Ryan Reynolds.
Fleck.
No, Fleck.
My apologies. That's streaming on Netflix
great movie.
Right now.
It just got on Netflix. It's not a great movie. I'm not going to say it's a great movie, but it is a realistic gambling movie and a journey. It's not perfect, but somehow it's engaging, and it gets that lifestyle and the degeneratism right.
Okay.
I grew up gambling and around gamblers, and I know those people, and that's the closest thing to a true I've seen gambling movie in a while.
CJ has played in the World Series of Poker. Am I mistaken on that?
No, you're not.
There you go. Yeah. CJ's the real deal.
Hey.
I am... familiar with the gambling movie that you just said.
California Split.
Mm-hmm. My staff pick is another Robert Altman movie. Your boy finally watched McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And also, if we can go back to that caller's question, genres that I don't enjoy.
Yeah, cue it up.
Play that. Roll it.
And our answers, just so we know, so the audience knows.
Yeah, play the whole thing. I don't enjoy Westerns as well, but I will gladly recommend McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Mm. You can't just give me the same, and actually this kind of goes back to Creed as far as it being like an imitation Rocky movie. Like after a while, if you're just giving me the same thing, I just get bored and I check out right away. And McCabe and Mrs. Miller, it's a Western, and there's just a lot of snow in it, which is something that you don't see in Westerns.
Right.
Usually it's like hot and balmy,
and
it's just and it's leading to some kind of like confrontation between two people, which this movie does. But the ending that it has was not something I was expecting at all. I thought the acting was great. Warren Beatty's fucking ugly and fantastic in it. Julie Christie is great. She just fucking smokes with like opium the whole time. Mm-hmm. God bless her. I really enjoyed McCabe and Mrs. Miller. It is available on Amazon Prime right now. So if you make that Amazon Prime money, Handle that. Shout out to CJ. Round of applause for CJ. Just got Hulu for
99 cents a month for a year. Set the reminder on my phone to cancel it next November 24th before the $7.99 kicks in.
We are so poor. We are so poor, bro. We are so poor. Next week, we're going to be talking about Green Book with Holly Walker of The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore. Oh. That'll be exciting.
Oh,
hey, if you like what you're hearing, please leave us that good review on Apple Podcasts. 5-star reviews get a shout out on the show. We got one from right now. Coop Girl Kiz says, I love Ricky. Thank you. I love you. Following him over from his guest spots on the X-Files. Files, R.I.P. Indeed. R.I.P. Indeed. April, Alonzo, and their cavalcade of hilarious and insightful guests. It's such a gift to hear critics who can share differing opinions along with good-natured McRibbon. Come on now. See what I'm saying? People, listen to the show.
I see what you did there.
That's what's up.
Oh, I thought that was MC Ribbon.
No, I did. For a second, I thought so as well.
POC Lee.
With good-natured McRibbon topped off with excellent film recommendations. Thanks for the friendly chat at Fantastic Fest, April.
It's Heidi Bennett.
Oh, is that who this is? Yeah. Heidi Bennett of Vibrant Visionaries Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's up.
She's a fun person to chat with on Twitter.
Yeah, I see her on Twitter. Oh, thank you very much, Heidi. Much appreciated for that.
CL 3531 writes, Juan not April. Alonzo just dropped some Middle English on me in the midst of a name joke back and forth with April, and I was finally spurred to write a review. Thank you. I wondered if anybody was going to get that joke. So good on you, CL 3531.
Is that an April O'Neill joke? Is that
No, it's a Chaucer joke. Yeah, I did it. I'm sorry. This show is great fun, and it's helped me make the most of my movie watching time. The guests are stellar, the hosts are even better, and I love everyone's commitment to what they love. So thank you, sir, or ma'am.
Thank you very much.
This one's easy. Hannah Baby 78, unless it's Hannah Baby 78.
Exactly what it is.
Who Shy is the podcast I most look forward to all week. This Friday, more than most, I was so happy to find it in my playlist. I had just left the vet's office where I had just had to have my kitty, my companion of 18 years, put to sleep. Hey, RIP, just went through that. Same thing. So sorry. I picked up my phone to find something to listen to on the drive home, and I was so happy to find a new Who Shot Ya. Having my friends Ricky, April, and Alonzo along for the drive home helped me to dry my tears and get through the hardest drive of all time. Thanks for keeping me company and even making me laugh in the worst of times as well as the best of times. The best of times being that the time Alonzo replied to one of my comments in the Facebook group about a Hallmark Christmas movie. Shout out also to Drea, who I wish was my best friend in real life. Aww. Oh,
yes.
Man, I'm seriously, Hannah Baby. That's cat stuff. I feel you. Mm-hmm. I feel y'all.
We're all feeling it. We're pouring some out for you right now. We're pouring some out for you. Thank you to everybody, as always, who leaves us reviews. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to everybody who calls in to the Who Shot Line. My man, CJ. Well, what? Thank you for being here,
Thank you. This was a great time.
Thank you.
Spirited.
Yes.
Enthusiastic.
Was it as woke as you thought it was going to be?
It was a little dreary at
times.
I wouldn't say it was fully woke.
Not fully woke.
I wouldn't say vibrant woke, you know?
Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, well, I'll take that. CJ, where can the people find you? Where can they listen to The Visitor's Locker Room?
Yeah,
which you should listen to. CJ's been doing The Visitor's Locker Room. It's a sports podcast that's been happening.
Little sports as possible, we're saying.
No, you're downplaying it, dog. You're downplaying
it. No, I'm being serious. Comedians impersonate sports guys. It's not the other way around. That was our old podcast. We used to do podcasts before, back when Marin was still doing coke. We were the original pop fathers. We're ahead of our time 10 years too late now. I don't know. When's this come out?
This comes out on Friday. This Friday it will be out. Yes, sir.
Oh, if you're in New Brunswick, New Jersey, come on out to the Stress Factory. I'll be there this weekend.
CJ is on the road very much so. Please go see him when you see his name. Do they put names on the marquee still? How does that work?
Underneath the shrimp specials? Yeah.
Put him right there. Yes, try the pasta primavera. Yep. And come out and see CJ Sullivan, Philly Zone. Follow him on Twitter. And get his album and listen to his podcast. CJ's great. Thanks for being on the show, bro.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
If you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, tweet at us at WhoShoutYaPod. Send us an email at WhoShoutYa@MaximumFun.org. As like I said earlier, leave us a message on the Who Shot Line. The number is WSY 803-1664. Our producer, Casey O'Brien.
our senior producer, Laura Swisher. This is a production of MaximumFun.org, and that's what's up.
Oh, my man, you're the only one who's done it with me. See?
Come on
now. Have fun with it.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.